you fine people out there in podcast land. Welcome to the Heavy Matters podcast, where we talk about music from the heavy and alternative scene. It's been a while, apologies, but life gets in the way, working, children, family, etc. But we're back, and tonight we have a show which we are going to be covering LLNN, the new album from Paul, and something slightly different from They Fell From The Sky, but we'll come back to that later on the show. As always, I'm joined by my good mate, Benny. Benny, it's been some time, but you look very well.
Yeah, I'm good, thank you, mate. Very good. I've been to the dump today.
Is that, as in, you went to a dump, not you
to
a dump?
I went to that recycling centre.
Oh, very good. Here on Heavy Matters, we are all about sustainability as well, so Benny's doing this bit with that. So that's the most excitement you've had, is it?
Yes, you've just been to, that right. Is the high,
And that's why we have been so busy with shows. We can't.
That's why we're very behind on the show.
Yeah, but we've got lots coming up. There are lots of albums coming out. It's great, very weighted towards the end of the year, which is great. And so we'll just get stuck in, mate, shall we?
Because let's go.
Yeah, so just to probably shout out, this is very much a Venny show tonight. Three albums we're covering.
Not my idea.
What? They were, well, two were, definitely. Anyway, we're going to start off with LLNN, and the album's called Unmaker. It's out now on Plesiac Records. For those who aren't aware, this is the third album by the Copenhagen four-piece. Benny, when I was doing my notes for this, or my research for the show, and the first thing that came up was they played Roadburn and Arctangent. I think, okay, so that's exactly why Venny's chosen this band. Because as soon as you see Roadburn, it's a very niche band that plays Roadburn. You're not going to get the likes of Triviums or Machine Heads there. It's a very niche market. So I'll hand over to you, mate. And I assume you know a bit about this band?
Yeah, I loved their first album, Deads. Was their first release, and it just struck me as quite an original piece of work. They're clearly of the post-metal ilk, but in a lot of their press releases, they say that they are post-metal mixed with the Alien soundtrack, which I think is quite accurate.
Quite
they
fitting,
have these kind of cinematic industrial soundscapes that kind of awash the music. And yeah, saw them live at Arctangent, thought they were really good, and yeah, I was interested to see where they went next.
Very much in that Cult of Luna area, isn't it?
Yeah, Cult of Luna, bit of Neurosis in there, just thick slabs of extremity and heaviness, abrasive. Not the easiest thing to listen to.
Yeah, quite dissonant and discordant at times. When I was listening to this album, the other band that sprung to mind was Amenra. However, not as thick and sludgy. For sure, LLNN are a lot more, inverted commas, quotation, accessible than compared to Amenra, but still very much in that vein. The album took me, I think this is the album this year that took me the longest to get into.
How many listens are we talking about? More or less, do you reckon?
I would say probably about 8 times before it sort of clicked. At the same time, it was, you know, sometimes I was working while I had it on the background, wasn't giving it full concentration.
Sure.
But yeah.
Had you listened to them before at all?
No, I don't think so. I may have crossed their path on a playlist somewhere, but not extensively. So this one this year, I mean, other than Amenra, as I spoke about, this was the toughest album for me to get into, which is surprising because I'm a big fan of Cult of Luna, and it is of that same ilk. But anyway, as we go on to the review itself, this was really tough listen for me.
Yeah, I mean, from my aspect, having been familiar with the first album, I'll go ahead and say this now, it's not a huge change up between the two albums. There's not huge leaps and bounds in terms of progression. It is pretty similar to the first album in a lot of its style, its heaviness. I think the one thing I noted as different the pace seemed to be slightly picked up on this album. The first album was very slow and heavy and sludgy, whereas this had a bit more of kind of hardcore, you know, post-hardcore influence on it. So, yeah, that was the main difference. And I guess for me, that's why it wasn't such a leap going in and listening to this. But, yeah, absolutely, really inaccessible, essentially.
Yeah, you make a good point there that there wasn't much change from the first album. Now, I haven't heard that, but I definitely found on this album it was very much a set template. There's a few interludes, I think is probably the right word, where it sort of drops in and out, but it was very much sort of a one pace of art from start to finish.
Yeah, I'd agree. Yeah, definitely. And for a podcast that reviews albums, there really isn't too much to pick apart in terms of, oh, well, track seven is this. Because I think it is, like you say, and it was like this with the first album, that they are complete works of art to listen to in their entirety, and they create a certain ambience and mood that is quite, you know, as we've said, quite a difficult one. But it's not like you would necessarily, there's no singles on here, let's put it that way.
Yes, yeah, for sure. That is, I was going to say, you could literally put this album in any order, like put the track, you could put the 10th, the last track onto the first, you wouldn't know any difference. But that being said, like, I mean, that it sounds like I'm being negative on that.
Yeah, so after 8 listens, what's your feelings about it now?
I really like it.
Okay.
And it really was a challenging listen. I really had to push myself through it. And unless you are into these sort of Roadburn, Arctangent, you know, unique bands, you would have a real hard time with throwing this on and enjoying it. Whereas if you put on, say, I don't know, a fairly mainstream band, you could relate to it a lot more. But once I actually dug into it a little deeper and started listening to, you know, the pieces in between, I really did enjoy it. And as I said, like, I like Cult of Luna. This is very much in your wheelhouse, this album.
Sure.
But at the same time, I did appreciate that these guys have made something really good.
Yeah, I think what I like about them, I love, I think with repeated listens, there are hooks that you can latch onto in the darkness. I think that is distinct from Amen-Ra, where there really was very little to hold on to. This does have riffs, and it does have things that the vocals are harsh, rasping, throat kind of ripping vocals throughout, but there are things and choruses that you can latch onto, which is probably distinct from Amen-Ra. And what I've always loved about the band is that real kind of industrial film score soundtrack. I mean, the Alien soundtrack is a bit of a joke, but you do get that kind of sci-fi, futuristic, unnerving, unsettling soundtrack. And that's where those interlude tracks kind of come into play a lot more. And yeah, it very much is something to be listened to in its entirety, in the right setting, in the right mood.
And in terms of being a unique band in this genre, this post-metal, post-hardcore rock, whatever, do they stand out for you, or do they sort of like, and I'm asking you because you know this band, do they sort of just sit alongside the rest of the scene, or is there something that really grabs you from them?
I mean, it is those two things that I've talked about, that kind of industrial cinematic aspect to them is really the thing that sets them apart, I think, from the rest. Although, for my money, my only slight disappointment with this album is that it does very much follow on from the debut Deads. And I loved that first album because it was quite fresh at that point. And it was the first time I'd heard something, you know, heard something similar. But when I first heard something like this, and listening to this album, you know, it's not a wild leap from the first. So that would be my only real criticism. But yeah, you have got bands that are doing similar things, but I do think they are all quite distinct. I think this is pretty distinct from Cult of Luna, from Amon Ra, from Neurosis, from those bands. So yeah, they are doing something similar, but they are quite different in their own way, I think.
But I suppose then it goes to the question, if it's not broke, don't fix it. If it's a tried format, like I for me, coming in, listen to it with fresh ears, like never listened to them before, I can appreciate the album a lot more. Whereas I suppose you, being more of a veteran listener of them, would find it quite disappointing. So does that?
Oh, mate, I wouldn't say disappointing is the wrong word. It was just, it was noticeable. Do you know, they have not gone in a wild new direction. They have stuck to what made them successful before. They have got a pretty core sound, those monolithic guitars, the throbbing industrial soundscapes. And yeah, that's what made me like them in the first place. And I really like this album. It's just, it's not particularly different to the first one.
Mm. I really like the production on these albums. Yeah. And this goes for all sort of post whatever metal, et cetera, that there does seem to be a lot of attention put on the production. And it's very, I don't want to say clean, but it's, do you know what I mean? Like, it's clean and it's not, but you can really emphasize like the bass, the drone of the bass. You can hear almost every instrument. And I think the vocals on this album are some of the best I've heard this year, certainly. I think the vocal performance is outstanding. And I think the fact that the production, I think if it wasn't produced this way, it would be a very different story for me sat here talking about this album.
Yeah, I mean, the production adds atmosphere. We talk about atmosphere and black metal and these things. I think one of my favourite Cult of Luna albums is, we've talked about, is Vertical, and that elicits a very similar kind of futuristic, post-apocalyptic feeling in the production. And I think this is going for something similar. We talked about the Bosk album is something, again, that black and white cover, the very stark imagery in it, I think all feeds in. So yeah, agree essentially.
Yeah, like, would I listen to this album again? Yes. Would I go to it as a first thing jumping to mind? Probably not, but there is a very specific time where I'd listen to this. And it's quite funny because I always come back, like, you know, black metal being one of my favourite genres, and people who just don't understand that. Whereas for me, this is very specific and I need to be in the right frame of mind to listen to it. Hence why it took me 8 or so listens to really appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah, I totally agree. I think you have got to be in a certain frame of mind to listen to it. I'm the same with it, to be honest. And you're not going to wake up on a sunny Sunday morning and flick it on, because it is that oppressive heaviness, quite jarring, discordant, like you said. For me, it's like I've listened to it when I'm cycling home late from work and it's all dark, got the street lamps, the cityscapes, do you know, it's that kind of album for me, and that real kind of grit your teeth heaviness. And I remember seeing them live, just head banging slowly and gritting your teeth. And yeah, it is heavy as sin, this.
Yeah, it is. I think from my point of view, it won't be on my end of year list. That's not to say it's not a bad album. I think, as I said before, a lot of people will really, really enjoy this, especially in the absence of a new Cult of Luna album or Neurosis, etc., like you said. Bosk has done well to fill that void as well. And I think these two, Bosk and this album, will be very high up in a lot of people's indie year list for those who are fans of the genre.
Why don't put you on the spot? If I could give you Amon Ra, Bosk, or this LLNN album, which one would you Bosk. Take, do you think? Bosk.
Yeah.
I think I would as well, actually, to be fair.
And that's no disservice to them at all. Like, I think musically it's a really good album. I think if I was more into this genre, my score would be a lot higher. But for me, it's a 7, which is respectable, like, you know, for an album of this. So over to you. I'm sure, I'm pretty sure we're going to be on the same page of this.
Yeah, I'm a 7 out of 10 as well. And I loved that first album. The first album was an 8 or a 9 for me. And it was very, we talked about in the show a bit, the impact of hearing something for the first time and being blown away by it. And that impact is you know, you're slightly desensitized to it the second time round. It's not a bad album. The songwriting is good. The songs are good. But it's 7 out of 10 just for that slight blunting of the sharpness of the knife for me.
Fair enough. That was LLNN Unmaker. And shout out to Simon Glacken for giving us that one. Next, we're going to move on to the second album from another band from Denmark, Mull. And the album's called Diorama Nuclear Blast. It's out on the 5th of November. And I'll give a quick shout out to the lovely Lisa Coverdale for sending this on. She really is such a lovely person, Lisa. Salt of the earth. Anyway, that's a separate story. So this is Mull. It's her second album. I'm probably not blowing too much smoke off their ass when I say their triumphant debut album, Yord, which was in 2018, 3 years ago. This is another very much Venny album. Yes. I know how much you loved that first album and was probably...
I loved Yord so much. It came, 2018 was a really strong year, but Yord was a brilliant album. And I mean, like, it is a certain flavour of black metal, but black metal nonetheless. So I'd throw it back to you as the connoisseur. What was your takeaway from that debut?
On Yord. Oh, it was... Yeah. It was... I can't remember where on my list it was, but it was definitely on my end of year 20 list. I think it was number 5 or something like that. It was something that, like you said, 2018 was a really strong year, and it sort of just... sat in the middle of that list as something that was really different and special and new and exciting at the time, because they had that, I don't really like this black gaze term, but that's where it was, and it was something that, and I don't think I saw one bad review of that album. Everyone absolutely loved the arse off it. And I'm pretty sure it was high up in your end of your list as well.
Yeah, I think similar. It was super strong year, but it was in the top 5 without a doubt.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're back now anyway with on Nuclear Blast, which that another label just keep adding some unbelievable bands to their roster. So we always talk about the difficult second album, the sophomore album. What was your thoughts when you clicked play on this for the first time, or even before? Were you apprehensive? Were you
a little bit? I think, like you, the first album was really quite special. It was very of its time. It really struck a chord. It is, like you say, I mean, we can talk about the sound of Mull, but they have elements of black metal. They are probably what you would describe as a black gaze band. They have this kind of, a bit like Death Heaven, this really positive slant, real posy kind of poppy almost slant on black metal, and really uplifting in places, and I really liked it. I was really interested to see where they were going to go with this second album, and part of me wondered if they would do a Death Heaven and just completely move away from the black metal and strip that back, go into much proggier realms. So Click and Play for the first time, what jumped out at me straight away was how much black metal is on here and how heavy they have retained that core black metal sound.
They have, but at the same time, they have managed to create something that is really uplifting, and I don't mean to sound like cliche, but sort of soul soothing, if that makes sense. It's a real, there is a juxtaposition between that of the black metal, but I like what they've done on this album, the fact they've now introduced some cleaner vocals and the clean vocals with the female vocals on the same track. And we'll probably come back to that later, but
yeah.
I think there's a real... I think Yord was very much not a chaotic album. They obviously had everything there, but this one does feel a lot more mature, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I totally get what you're saying. They have honed things, and I think a great parallel is Rollo Tomasi were a bit further on along in their career, but Grievances they released was in this incredible album, but still had the kind of chaotic nature of that early mathcore.
But when they released Time Will Die and Love Will Bury It, what was it? Love Will
Time Will Die, Die
and Time Will Bury It. Either way. But yeah, yeah. They really took that step up in terms of songwriting maturity, and they had all the weapons in their arsenal, but just employed them in a slightly better way. And I think it's similar with this Moll album. And it is really uplifting. And the beauty, maybe if we may come on to that final track, but the beauty a lot of the time comes from the guitar, the clean picked guitar riffs and melodies. And the singing is pretty heavy throughout. Like, it's not like he's gone like the last Death Heaven album where he's gone completely Morrissey, clean singing throughout. He still has that very raspy black metal style almost throughout. But a lot of the melody and the uplifting nature that we're talking about comes from those soaring guitar hooks and lines, almost like explosions from the sky kind of post rock or post metal, really mixed in with that black metal.
It really is a hooky album, isn't it? Like you said, there's guitar hooks, the vocal hooks are brilliant. The vocals are, it is very unique style of singing, this, which I can't think if I've heard on any other albums, which is credit to them, because like you said, it's another weapon in the arsenal. It's very unique. I think you can definitely feel the emotion in the songs on this album, be it the harsh vocals or the cleaner ones. You can see it's a very emotionally charged album, but they had, like you said, like poppy almost in places to bring it all in together. I think it's a great body of work, and I've never seen Moll live, but I think with these two albums now together, they have got something that is going to be one hell of a live set list.
Yeah, I saw Moll at Surprise Surprise Art Tangent, but they actually fit their sound very well live. They're full of energy. It's really bright and shiny, and it kind of fits the sound very well. But yeah, coming back to his voice, he has, like you say, there are new elements on this album. In particular, on track two, he has this real kind of high-pitched, almost falsetto voice, which I wasn't sure if it was a female vocal initially, but I think it is his own. Mm. And it sounds great. And it is, and if you don't mind, we'll go on to the title track, which is track 8, Diorama, which I absolutely love that track. Then that is where they pair a beautiful female vocal with his own, and is really kind of post-rock, post-metal. It has that major key black metal. And this Diorama, that single track, is where I thought they would be going on this album. Mm. And sure, they've not done it for the whole piece, but that track on its own is what I, in my mind's eye, I kind of thought the direction of Moll could be, or I don't want to say should be, but could be. I absolutely love that final track, and I would love if that is just a little sign of where they're going to go next, because I think they could be absolutely incredible if they plumbed that well.
It is a luscious, luscious closing track, like a dreamy end to an album that's pretty chaotic at times. But yeah, I know exactly what you were talking about then, because we talked about the same with Death Heaven at the end of their last album. It got heavy and it was like, oh, are they going to go that way? And like you said, are Moll now going to go a bit more towards that? Pop's not the right word, but you know what I mean.
It is, yeah. No, it's kind of kind of dream poppy, proggy textures, post rock, post metal. I don't know, but yeah, there is a lot more kind of going on than just straight up black gaze, is what I would say.
Yes, it is, and it's for some. There'll be some fans will be annoyed because they've probably gone the other way. You can't please everyone, but other fans, I think, will love the expansiveness of this album. the other, my favourite song on the album is Vestige. It is, that's what I'm talking about, the hooky chorus. It's so wonderful.
Yeah, the melodies are there, aren't they? And so it's often, as I said, provided by the guitar lines. And they're a bit like when you go and see Iron Maiden and you can hear the crowd singing along to the guitar riffs. You could almost do the same with Mol. They have these really memorable kind of guitar lines that stick in the mind and provide that melody.
This is an album that gets better as it goes on, I think, which is in a way is funny, because a lot of bands will put the strongest songs at the start of the album. You know, like your example of Iron Maiden there, they'll usually put the singles at the start of the album. But this album actually gets so much better as it goes on. And it's like it's layered, because each time I listen to it, I find something new, a new little riff here or a little, you know, tempo change there. I think the drums are really good. There's some really interesting, not over complex, but not under complex, if that makes sense. I think the whole album really is, they've done it again, which we always worry about in the difficult second album, will they do it? And I think they really have with this album.
Yeah, agree. I think they've had a nice balance of sticking with, you know, the sounds that launched their career, but also progressing it and maturing it, bringing different elements and making a really interesting second album. So yeah, it is a really difficult act to follow, but I think they've done it in a really professional and really nice way.
Is it better than Yord? This is a $1 million question now, because Yord was very special, but what they've done here, and these are, it's the same band, but they have created something very special on the second one as well. So I'm just interested in your opinion.
Yeah. Do you know how I feel about this? I feel about this the same way. To bring in another parallel is Black Peaks. I loved their debut Statues. Some of the singles on Statues, like is it Glass Built Castles, were just absolute, like some of my favorite tracks. But then they came in with their second album, which was All That Divides, which actually I think is technically a better album. Do you know? It is, and it's more accomplished. It brings in these other kind of Mastodon aspects, and I loved that second album. So I think I like moments on Yord more, but I think as a whole piece, I think I like Diorama more. Does that make sense?
You've done well to avoid the question there. Absolute politician answer. Yeah, just danced around. No, I do know what you mean. I do, and I'm sort of on the same with you. I'm really on the fence between the two, but that just is not a bad thing, because it just shows that they've followed up with a really, really good album, which, as we've said before, it can be such a stickler for the second album. But yeah, it's one of those albums where I've had the last couple of weeks, I don't know if you have this at all, but I've been really like, I didn't want to listen to anything. Like, I didn't want to listen to music. I didn't want to listen to metal especially, which is strange because, you know, that's all I listen to. But I just really, do you know when you just couldn't find anything?
I get the same. I get the same. Sometimes I just can't get enough of new music and just need to just scrolling, like trying everything. Like, but sometimes, you do need a little period where, you know, you just.
Yeah, and I was like, so we've got these new albums to listen to, and I was like, I don't want to get into them. And then I was really struggling to find stuff like, you know, old stuff like to listen to, like, you know, Opeth or Behemoth and stuff like that. And I was like, I really can't deal with that either. And this album, Diorama, when I put it on, was exactly what I was looking for in that moment of time. It had a blend of everything for me. And you know, after listening to it, like the floodgates opened, but I was then like, right, give me more. So
it's great.
That was, yeah, and it's great for an album to do that, you know. So yeah, I think it's your go to go first, mate, on this.
Sure.
One.
I've gone 8 out of 10. A great album. A really good follow up. And like you say, it still sounds really fresh and uplifting, but still has the bite of the black metal to see you through. So yeah, really good.
Yep, and I've gone 8 as well. Again, just to echo your sentiments. That's Mold Dearam, and you need to listen to that if you haven't yet, because it really is a wonderful piece of music. And on to our final review, which is from a band called They Fell From The Sky. The album's called Decade. It's their debut album. Now, we are a podcast who covers heavy and alternative music, and this is an alternative album. Now, bear with us, because if you don't, this is a sort of supergroup of age, if that makes sense. Anyway, there was a band that it features Colin Doran, who is the vocalist, and he was in a band called 100 Reasons, which we'll come back to in a minute, and also features Jason Bold, who is drummer from Pitchshifter and Bullet for My Valentine, Dave Draper, who plays guitar and produced the album, Lee Erenmes from Snuff, and Ollie Edkins. So, to try and sum up what this... So, 100 Reasons were a band, Benny, that I know I had a real loving relationship with when I was at uni in Cardiff.
Loving?
Loving, yeah. Good. I remember that debut album, was it Transmission?
Permission? Ideas Above Our Station?
Sorry, that's it, yeah. I was that getting
Transmission was
that.
Sick.
I was, and then I was thinking Permission to Land, but I was like, no, that's... Yeah. That's yeah. So anyway, Ideas Above a Station, yeah. And I remember listening to that at uni. So that would have been, 20 years ago. 19, Jesus,
yeah.
And I remember having it on constantly. I loved that album. Absolutely loved the arse off of it. And I actually saw him playing that in Cardiff in the uni. Here's a little heartbreak story. I was just started uni, and we were waiting outside a lecture hall, and there was a girl there with pink hair, or you know, whatever. She looked alternative, and I said to her, "Look, do you want to go to the 100 Reasons gig?" And she was sort of like a bit shy and said, "Oh yeah, I'll go." And she stood me up.
Oh,
she right. stood me up for the gig, so I had to take one of my flatmates with me. I was devastated. Aww. Yeah, so. There's a bittersweet love for this 100 Reasons band. But no, they were... When I listen to a 100 Reasons song, it takes me straight back to uni.
Yeah.
It has that sentiment. Absolutely. And I'm sure you were the same. This album
Ideas Above Our Station is one of my... Like, I absolutely love that record. And like you say, it is very evocative of a certain time. Do you know, we were 18, 19... to put styling on it, it's kind of that post-hardcore. I mean, before emo became a dirty word, quite frankly, it is emo. But I know we now associate that with a whole host of things, My Chemical Romance. Well, this was before My Chemical Romance were even a proposition, you know. And that is what it was. And you could, like, cryogenically freeze that sound, and it will always... be evocative of that particular moment in time, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and so the reason, listeners, we got this from Jade Perry, who's doing the PR for him, and like many PR albums, usually there's a spiel with it, and I saw Colin's name, and I clicked on the single she sent us, and it took me back hearing his voice, and we'll talk about the musical element of it in a minute, but hearing his voice gave me such a joy, and the fact that his voice doesn't sound like it's aged one bit was even more memorable. So I said to you, Benny, we're covering this, and here we are. So I'm interested, like I said to you, Texa, look, we're covering this. It's got Colin from 100 Reasons, and you gave me a okay emoji, and I didn't know if that was just you going, okay, or if you were sort of excited about it. So what was your take on it?
I mean, I initially was pretty lukewarm, I have to say. Like, when... Look, I whenever you hear the kind of term supergroup, I'm always I have certain antibodies against that term. So I was already a bit like, and then bands from kind of 20 years ago trying to, you know, spark it up. And I was a bit like, oh, is this just going to be kind of a bit disappointing of that memory of that we both hold so dear, you know? Yeah. So I was pretty lukewarm, but like you say, when you hear Colin Duran's voice, it's so characteristic. He's got such a great vocal. It's so characteristic. It just sounds like a 100 Reasons record, really, because of it, because the DNA of his vocal is so strong. It just bleeds through everything else in the music and makes it sound like 100 Reasons. And so I heard it and I thought, oh yeah, I mean, sounds like 100 Reasons, great. But then it's only through repeated listens that I've been like, wow, actually, this is a hell of a record.
Oh my God. Wow. So going by the PR, right, the spiel. So it's formed in 2008, and Jason, who was, I assume, with Bullet from Valentine at the time, was writing songs with Colin in mind. So that's quite interesting. And here we are, like, you know, all these years later, and their debut album, and, I mean, 100 Reasons even still going? I don't know.
I don't think so.
No.
Don't think
so. And, yeah, I was hesitant like you, because I think the first thing that grabbed me was the fact that there was this physical emotion connection to Colin, 100 Reasons, and, you know, playing it through first, I was like, this is fine. Like, you know, it's... But actually, do you know what? I've really missed this style of music, which sounds weird, but it comes back to the point of me when I was struggling to try and find something to listen to. This was exactly what something like this I needed to listen to, and hearing his voice again. But at the same time, like you said, yeah, 100 Reasons probably is what grabbed you first, but I really love the songs, what they've done. I think Jason on the drums, like, considering he comes from that Bullet for My Valentine, which, you know, I don't like Bullet for My Valentine at all, but the different drumming techniques, obviously, it's just such a wholesome record.
It is. And if you just, it's a difficult one. I don't think I would have wanted to listen to this record 20 years ago when the whole world was kind of awash with this type of music. I don't think I would have wanted to listen to it 10 years ago, but actually right now it's in a weird way exactly what I want to listen to.
It's because we're now like in our dad rock age.
Yeah, maybe.
But no, 100%.
It's hard to describe. It's not what I want to be listening to, but it's actually just a thing. It just hits the spot.
Yeah, no, 100%. Like you said, the scene was flooded with this sort of bands, you know, all those years ago. And then 10 years ago, Jesus, was that Slipknot? No, I can't remember. But it was that sort of probably just coming out of the new metal phase, potentially.
Yeah, 10 years ago, we were kind of full on metalcore. And that's what we're really looking at. But I mean, there is a... I was going to say this later, but this kind of golden lineage of British bands. And right now we talk about British bands like they are the best bands. And globally, even US considered, British bands are really like doing really special things and getting the credit for it. But 20 years ago, British bands really struggled to make any headway against US bands. But there were some great bands, 100 Reasons clearly being one of them. And I've written down a little lineage of bands that were around at that time, but probably didn't get the props or didn't get the credit they were due. And most of them have kind of died out. But this very much sounds of that same lineage, partly because of the people involved. But so I've got like A, which are like Daniel P. Carter's bands, who I know you won't be a fan of, and Hell Is for Heroes, 100 Reasons, Funeral for a Friend, early Biffy Clyro, before they became this kind of monolithic band, Reuben and Jamie Lemon's band. So yeah, and a lot of those bands were toiling away, playing the toilet venues, not really getting much press. All the traffic was kind of going the way of the American bands. But now things are changing. British bands are the thing, and it's just nice to pay a bit of credit to those founding father bands who I think really this sound is a lot indebted to.
Yes, I agree. Yes. You said it. Yes, yes, Ben. Yeah, no, and they do deserve credit because, you know, these guys were the, you know, starting up this whole scene, like you said, and it's great to see them coming back out. And like you said, the apprehension of, oh, are they coming back and like doing a Motley Crue, like, you know, sort of giving up the ghost and trying to come back, but they haven't. They've like, this is a really strong album for them to come and release, especially during this period where, you know, you've got the likes of Trivium, who are on a massive high with their albums, you know, Slipknot, Maiden, etc., etc., and they've come in, you know, they're not reinventing the wheel with the music. Let's be fair on that point. You know, there's nothing complex about it in terms of compared to some of the stuff we like,
Ella, yeah, like Employed, yeah, or like even big British bands that we're talking about, Black Peach, sadly not with us, but Employed to Serve. We talked about a load of great British bands who are really pushing things. And like you say, yeah, this is a sound of a bit of a bygone era, and they've not reinvented it. I do like what they've done with the sound. I do like the kind of, you know, Jason was in Pitch Shifter before, and there is elements of that kind of almost lo-fi guitar, driving guitar and drums that really, you know, when you've got the vocalist that you have, you probably don't need to do too much. You don't need too many dragons coming out of the PA, music-wise. And I think they do a great job, the band, keeping it all rattling away behind. So yeah, I think they do a good job. Yeah, but yeah, it's not wildly different, and it's not pushing the boundaries of new music. But I think, like you've alluded to, I think just the quality of the album, the quality of the songs that they've written and put together is what makes this a real, you know, really a real palate cleanser and really stands up.
And do you know, I've said it before on a few albums, you don't have to be complex for the sake of it. You don't have to go, and this is part, like you said, it is a lovely palate cleanser, and it does everything that I want from this sort of album. Like you said, there's no fucking dragons jumping out the PA. It's probably more of a, do I say rock album? Do you know what I mean though? It's definitely not a metal album.
No.
But it's something that, like, for example, on Friday, one of my wife or one of my friends around, and I put it on, and she was, you know, she's not a metalhead, but she's, you know, was banging along and things like that. And there'll be a lot of our friends who would probably not like this, but I think I would definitely say you need to give this album a go because it is well worth your attention.
Yeah. Can I just highlight a couple of tracks, mate? Yeah. Because the final track, we talked a bit earlier about keeping your powder dry towards the end of the album or putting all your singles front loaded. I mean, Birth of Stars is the final track, and I absolutely love that song. It's probably the song that really hooked me into the album, because I listened to the album through a few times, but very often what I'd do is I'd put Birth of Stars on first and just get the kind of serotonin high from it, and then listen to the rest of the album back from the start. I just think that's an just incredible, soaring, uplifting chorus. The lyrics on this album are really good as well. The songwriting, but also the lyrics, the understated guitars. I just think that's an incredible track. It's going to be one of my tracks of the year, without a doubt.
Wow. Wowzers. Without a doubt. Do you know, I'm really surprised how much you love this album.
Yeah, so am I.
Yeah, it's strange.
And just last thing, mate, like the 1-2 that comes in the middle of the album, the line followed by Can't Think of Anything, I just think they're so super strong vocal performances. He flits between that that kind of clean but really strong commanding vocal. He's got that post-hardcore rasp to it. Yeah, just absolutely stacked, particularly on the line. And can't think of anything. Just, I've written down, it's really euphoric. It feels, it just reminds me of like being 18 again, just pass your driving tests, down with your mates, driving too fast. You've got the window down, the wind flowing through my then hair.
That really that, is euphoric.
Just that real kind of, real adolescent awakening kind of feeling. And yeah, they capture it really nicely on that.
Yeah. Just one question before we wrap up, Benny. Is this a heavy album?
No, it's alternative. It's post-hardcore. It's emo, but however derided that word is. But and it's very British, but it's not metal. But it is heavy in its own way, just like... Yeah. Punk and hardcore can be extremely heavy, but not necessarily metal.
The one track that was I found was heavy was One More Obstacle, and it has a really killer drum intro. Jason like really shows off a bit there. Yeah,
really good drumming on that track.
Yeah,
really good.
And that's one of the really heavy ones, so I really enjoyed that. But no, look, this is a really great album from a bands who, of course, supergroup, whatever, but, and I think probably our rating, Benny, a lot of it may be down, not a lot, but some of it will certainly be down to an emotional attachment to the feeling of it. But for me, I can't not give it an 8. Like,
yeah, and mine is an 8 as well, mate. Wow. I really like this.
Yeah.
I really like this album. And look, I like it enough to be a 9, but musically for me, it doesn't do anything different.
Yeah.
It's not pushing a boundary that hasn't been done before. So I couldn't consciously give it a 9, but I really, really love listening to this album. And it's a great one to bring in. So I'm not sure I would have picked it up otherwise. So I'm delighted that you brought it in. And a mate of mine, Richard Black, he's a big fan of this era of music. He loves his Reuben and Jamie Lemon, and he's been all over this, and he's been
really
in my ear about it. So yeah, so I might have got it from him if it wasn't from you, but yeah, delighted you brought it in.
That's, if one person listens to this from our show, then we're happy, we've done our job. I really hope they do a tour. I'd love to see them in like I'm trying to think of a venue size, but a nice and small gig, and really good crowd interaction, that'd be great. So, and this is going to be a lovely album we can throw on when we meet and we're having dinner around the table, which won't upset the
alien hearths. It's not like putting LLN on as a bit too stark for dinner time
as a starter, followed by a Menra for the main and Imperial Triumph for the dessert. I'm not sure of any, but I think that might be the first time we've had the same ratings for each album.
That was nice, wasn't it?
Could be, yeah, it's nice for a change. Where we're not at each other.
We're not at loggerheads.
Yeah. So on the next show, whenever that'll be, we're going to be covering the new Trivium album. I've picked 1914, which is Benny's little face. And we're also covering a album from a band called Still, who slid into our DM and asked us. So if you want to throw us a line, throw us your promos, we'll have a look and have a listen. And it might not get on, but if it does, we'll give you a shout out. So until next time, I've been Joey, he's been Venny, and we will see you later. Peace out.